Hello, this is your host, Maya Chupkov from Proud Stutter. I am back from my trip to Chicago. It was such a wonderful week. We were able to film with Break the Blocks at Northwestern, and we put on an amazing event at Northwestern University, our Filmmakers Who Stutter and With Disabilities panel. You can actually read the recap of the event at Northwestern's daily newspaper website. The link to that is in our show notes, so be sure to check it out. Our next Proud Stutter event is happening on May 8th during Stuttering Awareness Week. It's going to be in San Rafael, California in the Bay Area. Please save the date and we will get that information and webpage to RSVP to that in just a few days. So be on the lookout for that. So today's episode is another recap of Survivor. So the last two episodes we have will be recapped for today. And then we will be back on the Proud Stutter feed next week with another recap episode of Survivor. And then we're going to take a 2 week break after that. And we'll be on our normal regular cadence of every other week. So yeah, that's, just a quick, update on the Proud Stutter podcast. And without further ado, here is the recap episode. I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm your host, Maya Chupkov. We are welcoming back Caitlin Dietz and Elliot Goldstein for our recurring Survivor recap episode. So Caitlin and Elliot, thank you for joining again for our third Survivor recap episode.
Always happy to be here, yeah.
Happy to be here again.
Before we get into it, I just have to say the one from this week, episode 7, I was just like, please, Mitch, like just hang it there. Like I was so afraid that he was gonna get voted out. So anyway, we'll get there. But yeah, let's, so the last episode we recapped 4 and 5. So this episode we're recapping 6 and 7. So yeah, let's dive in. So the beginning of Survivor episode 6, where are we at team?
Yeah. So we came out of, a tribal and Say was annoyed again.
And I called it. I was like, I know Say is going to be mad, even though Cedric was looking out for her. But Say is just Say. She's just dramatic.
100%. And Mitch voted for Say, and Say was not happy about that. And then they dropped their buffs after that. So very exciting. So everyone is playing an individual game now, which is very interesting because all of the relationships that they've been developing on their different tribes are now definitely coming into play. And that the first episode where everyone is kind of playing their own game is always chaotic.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Because they're trying to figure out the flow and who they can trust and who they can't trust.
Yeah. And I just loved seeing all the reactions from each tribe as the boats were coming. That's always a fun part to be like, yay, we've moved up in the game. And yeah, this is always a really exciting episode. And I think the official like merge came earlier than it usually does. So
at this point, when they're seeing everyone's votes arriving, because I hadn't seen the first two episodes when everyone met, but so when I began watching, everyone was already in their separate tribe. So when they see the boats arriving, and now is everyone back in one group? Have each of them had a chance to like meet everyone yet? In that moment, are they meeting some others for the very first time?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They okay. do that on purpose. They separate all the tribes so that, yeah, it's new, a lot of new relationships.
Yeah. I think Eva had said like she hadn't met a few people yet because she hadn't been on a tribe with them before. So, and this after like this episode is the first episode where every single person goes to tribal. Because there are still some people that haven't gone to tribal yet. So, but we'll get to that. Yeah, so we'll see like what alliances at this point will stay together and what won't.
And then at this point, was this when Kyle and Camilla and Joe and Shaheen were like really sort of like bonding? Or like they were really becoming their own group there?
Yeah, I think that we had seen that they really bonded in their, you know, during their time together, like before the merge. And so one of the things I was like, oh, is this foursome going to last? And now we're seeing cracks develop there, especially with episode 7, which we'll get to, which Shaheen. But yeah, another duo that, you know, now, I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, with Say leaving, but Mary and Say seem to have differing viewpoints on their relationship. like Say's like, oh yeah, like me and Mary. And Mary's like, oh no, like Say has to go. So I'm like,
I know, Say was like, that was the most fun I've ever had. And then Mary like, no, she's toxic. I can't stand
Mary's
it.
Like, I want nothing to do with her anymore.
was this what? So David was meeting some of the other sort of bigger dude for the first time at right. this moment, right? So I thought that was interesting because obviously he has a lot in common with someone like Joe. And you, like, you can mm-hmm. see sort of like a natural alliance there. And you could see, I think, as it was happening, they, like, made fast friends. And then very quickly, it was, like, him and Kyle and Shaheen and Joe, and they were sort of forming their own alliance. And Eva, too.
Yep.
And then I remember David was talking about, okay, so it's, like, I have this alliance, and then I also have, he was talking about Siva 6, which is that reference to the original tribe, the original Siva tribe. Okay.
And then they were bonding over milk.
Mm-hmm. Get these guys a Got Milk commercial. Like, let's go.
The milk is a through line through the entire series now. Just you follow the trail and then you find the winner. But I'm still like, is milk the secret? Because both of these guys are jacked and they both are talking about drinking a gallon of milk a day. Joe's talking about drinking a gallon of chocolate milk. And first of all,
I know.
I don't know if I could keep one glass down, but you're drinking a gallon and also are ripped. So I don't know what's going on, but
yeah.
Big shout out milk
dairy,
here.
So there's no hope for me. I'm just not going to be yoked. And you know what? That's okay. I can live with that.
Yeah, that would not be okay with me. Like, I would not feel good at all.
But yeah, so we have the quote unquote meat shields, you know, the 5 super strong dudes and Eva, who is also super strong.
Oh my God.
So they've just got all the physical power in that group. And I know they just keep talking about wanting to like take each other to the end. And they could be like a very dangerous group if they, you know, stick together. So that'll be really interesting to see unfold.
Because usually it's the meat shields that get targeted first, so mm-hmm. we're seeing kind of a different thing emerge in this season.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's like, I don't know if there are have been this many physically strong mm-hmm. people in a minute. And they all are like, I want to play with you. So that'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. Kyle and Camilla are still being a secret duo. and just staying under the radar.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how long that facade lasts and like how long their alliance goes. Like if it'll supersede the Meat Shield alliance or anything else.
And where does Mitch fit in here?
Well, at this point in time in this episode, he's still got Charity.
And he still has the, like, he also still thinks like it's going to be like a SIVA strong. They have six from SIVA that haven't been touched yet. Yeah, but I think where they, like, where Charity went wrong is she made not the best move talking to Star about asking for Eva's idol back. Like that was, I think that was the nail in her coffin.
She was being really loud and talking strategy with a lot of different people. And I think it was rubbing some people the wrong way. And, I don't know if she really realized like how tight Eva is with like how big her alliance is, because she was targeting Eva. And I think Mitch was too, right?
Yeah, but I wonder like how what was her goal in telling Star that she should ask for it back? Because it's like in what world is Star gonna actually ask for the idol back after
Yeah, that was just
that
not
very
smart.
genuine interaction of her like giving it over to Eva because she deserved it too. She's the one that solved the puzzle.
Yeah, I
So I
think she
wonder what
just
her goal
read
was.
Star wrong. I think she just read it wrong. I think she's just, yeah,
And she
that
wanted to get
was.
Eva out, so she wanted to get rid of the idol. And she thought,
Right.
what other way to do it than to get Star to ask for it back? That's kind of her only hope there.
Yeah. So then we go to the award and immunity, a challenge. We learn that it's day 13 and there's a full meal for whoever wins. And yeah, Kyle wins the first immunity, a challenge. And the team that does the merge feast that wins is David, Camilla, Kyle, Chrissy, Mary, Star, and then Say, because she got the advantage.
Right. Huge advantage in that one.
Yeah, like she didn't get dirty at all. She was just
I
like.
know. That was a tough watch. I feel like they were being like when they like in cartoons when they like put tar and then feathers on someone and like that's exactly what that felt like.
And I think it's worth noting Cedric's performance too, because during that challenge, he was really struggling like to get up the
Oh.
half pipe. It was almost like a skateboard half pipe. And I
That was
mean,
so
I
rough.
get it too, because you're like in mud, super slippery. He wasn't the first one up, so like the ramp was probably slippery too. But then Jeff was just like, and Cedric fighting for his life. And it
I
was like,
love when
oh,
Jeff like commentates like that, and then the players are like, "Oh, shut up, Jeff!"
I
Like,
know, but it's worth noting because I think this eventually leads to Cedric's fate. This is
the start to
the
his
start,
getting
yeah.
in his head, yeah.
Oh man, and like, it was so close. Like Mitch was working so hard, and he did so well, and they were really trying to get Cedric up there, and it's like he complete like it's like he just like lost all of his like all of his body weight, just like his energy completely drained, and it was yeah, that was really hard to watch. But once he got up there, they sped up, like they really tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the end, it was he was on Joe's team, right? So it was Joe that sort of like gave him the boost from beneath, like to lift him up, right? Or was that Shaheen? Either way, it was like without that person there, like I don't even know if Cedric would have been able to actually get up. So you need those at least at like this point in the game, you need those sort of like stronger individuals to help get the team through that immunity challenge, it seems.
It's the first tribal council, and I think, like the names that have been thrown around is Say, Eva, and Charity, and Charity ends up going home, which blindsides Mitch. Yeah, that's kind of where episode six ends. And yeah, for episode seven, we pick back off from of coming back to the camp after the tribal council. And this is when we get like Mitch is basically the star of a lot of this episode, which is really like amazing to see. Like he's stuttering so much, and I'm just like, thank you, Survivor, for like letting him stutter so much,
Yeah,
'cause
and
yeah.
like he's getting so much screen time. It was great to see, but I was also terrified because it was looking like, he was on the chopping block. So I was like, hang in there. Hang in there, Mitch. The actual like gasp I gasped when Say was like, I'm gonna get Mitch out, and like had a target. I was like, no,
I know, I was like,
leave him alone.
no, don't do it. Okay, we actually have a clip be from the first, from a scene from the first part of episode seven. So I'm gonna play it real quick.
Tell you the truth, I voted Charity tonight. There's people that told me that she was throwing my name around. It's like, that's the truth. I didn't want to write Say's name down. Yeah, and then I felt like I had to. And now I'm questioning, is every conversation I've had up to this point Jimmy went out? It just hurts that people that you thought you trusted in this game weren't being honest with you.
I think we were afraid because you guys seemed like this.
Yeah, totally. But I wouldn't have put my whole game on the line forever. At this point, I don't know where I stand.
It makes sense why they did what they did, because he was so close with Charity, and the concern of him telling Charity that she's on the chopping block, like that could have affected her going home. So, and like Shaheen explaining why they did it, like it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think Mitch is like taking it really hard because he hasn't really eaten. Like, can we
Oh my
learn
God.
later?
Yeah, what are these people eating?
Malnourished Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch, I'm like, of course you're emotional. Like, I get emotional when I don't eat.
Yeah.
Hangry for the 11th day in a row.
Oh,
Or
I
so
couldn't.
like someone like Mitch who has gotten a chance to eat at any of those like special meals, what is he eating at this point?
Like coconut, almonds, like I th think there's like at each camp they have like different food. Like sometimes it's like a coconut heavy camp. The other times it's like different foods are at d different camps, I think. So it's whatever
You have to forage.
nature. Yeah.
Yeah. And then usually like they'll battle for rice and stuff, but it seems like they went straight into like actual meals. But I'm sure at some point they'll be, trying to get rice or whatever it may be. But food has come into play in the last two challenges, and I'm excited for when they do. There's an episode, Elliot, where in it was in the last season. They didn't have it for a while, but they do like a I want to call it like it's like a lottery.
An
No.
auction.
Auction. Thank you. A food auction.
I've seen clips from past seasons where like someone gets like a margarita and
Yeah.
clips it and guac. which
Exactly.
looks
Best.
like
Oh, I can't
a
wait.
dream.
They better bring that back.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
I thought it, I loved hearing about Mitch talking about him being a mailman.
Yeah.
Mitch the
Yeah,
mailman.
so I actually have a clip of that too. So
Oh, awesome.
let's listen to that one.
How many kids do you have in your classes?
It's like almost 50. All of them are gonna lose their mind.
They're gonna be
I
so
know.
sick.
Coach G's out here playing Survivor. The best way to connect with people is to share stories outside of the game.
Do you coach the tennis team as well or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay.
But before I was doing that, I was like a host meeting.
Lurker.
What? Yeah, I was male man Mitch. Super good money, good
life benefits and all. Why'd you bail?
Because I just felt super convicted that I like wasn't just doing enough with this story that I had. So I took a massive pay cut and decided to go.
What's her name?
Ryan Heath. I just had a heartfelt conversation with Joe and Shaheen.
That's so awesome.
If I can build some trust there, then I'm hopeful I can make it another 24 hours out here.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, that was so cool to just learn more about him. And I also took a pay cut in my last job too, so I related on that as well. But yeah, it's he's yeah, I think the fact that he wanted to teach and like use his story, you know, to be around kids is so heartfelt.
Yeah, I think there were a couple things that I thought of from that story. One of which being like, Mish is incredibly shrewd by knowing how to build rapport with these two guys when, you know, he's feeling threatened that he might be voted off, and but doing so in a heartfelt way, in a very authentic way, by sharing his story. And then you also hear Joe and other people, you talk about that in their like one-on-ones with the camera, how much they actually think of Mitch as a threat because of how shrewd he is socially, but in an authentic way, you know? So that was one thing. And then, yeah, just to second what Maya was saying, to go from being a, you know, postman where I don't know the, you know, day in and day out of being a mailman, but I would assume that there's probably a lot less speaking, you know? And so to go from that career where I would assume he's probably more comfortable from a speech standpoint and being paid more, and then to make a conscientious effort to be able to share his story and maybe be out of his comfort zone by being a teacher and sharing his story with kids is just like incredibly inspiring. So yeah, that's why that was my like favorite scene from the episode, just because it was so real.
Yeah,
he's so authentic. I just, yeah, I love, I, yeah, I didn't think about that, how a male person, you know, isn't probably speaking as much in their day to day. And so, yeah, that's super telling about who he is as a person. How cool.
This is really just a Mitch, you know, fan recap at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This is just
always
Mitch fandom.
But yeah, they talked about his story like three times throughout that episode about how if he makes it to the end, like they're in trouble because of how good he is in challenges and that he has a good story. How did you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I was like, when they were saying how good his social game was, I was like, oh, that's so great, because it's kind of like you're attaching having a stutter with like being a great social person, and that's not often the case. So it was just really cool to see Mitch be this, because he does appear to be outgoing in a lot of ways, and especially like him building relationship with Shaheen and Joe, like you really do see that people who stutter can be great communicators and can be good game players. And so, yeah, he's definitely representing us well.
Very much so. And so that brings to mind a question, not to distract us from the show, but, you know, I haven't ever seen a season all the way through. So everyone in this episode is talking about Jury and why his story and how his story is compelling, Mitch's story, and how that might affect him winning at the end, and how Joe, someone like Joe, could see him going all the way because of people voting for him because of his story. So my question is, how does that work? What does Jury mean?
Yeah. So starting from this episode, and I'm sure you saw, there was one person that came out of this episode that is the first person on the jury. So from now on, every person that gets voted out is added to the jury. And by the end, there'll be three finalists and everyone that has been voted off. And then all of those people are voting for who they want to win. So they are the jury of people that are basically like determining your game. And so at the end, the jury will ask the finalists question. So each person will ask the finalists a question on why they think they should win. You know, what was their gameplay like? You know, why should they get the money? And so Mitch having a good story and a good, you know, being like his representation and, you know, his background and what he brings to the game and everything combined, makes him a really like strong, finalist. And, you know, when you think about like who you want to sit with at the end, you know, their gameplay, their story, everything that kind of like combines together will determine like, you know, how people are going to think about how they're voting for you and like who deserves it the most at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can see why he's a threat.
Yeah. Mitch the mailman, Mitch, malnourished Mitch the threat. I love it.
That's right. Mr. G. What do you say? They call him Mr. G.
Yeah. So right before the immunity challenge, we see Shaheen being cocky about feeling like he's like the centerpiece and in control of the tribe. Well, little do you know, Shaheen, that you're probably about to be backstabbed very soon. So not this episode, but I can see it happening in a future episode.
Let's talk about the immunity challenge. That was wild.
I know. What did you guys think of this? Especially Elliot, like, and you, Caitlin, like, what did you think of like this splitting up of the tribes, and adding that layer of like, oh man, like people are gonna like be in very sticky situations depending on what team they get on.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting. It, you know, goes to show that like no matter how well you play the game, there's always an element of randomness and an element of chance, right? So I mean, like it just adds in that other layer of complexity.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, yes, like outplay, outlast, but there's also some luck that goes into it. Like what luck you'll have on, you know, what team. Did you get like the strong team, or did you get, you know, maybe the not so physically strong team, or, you know, the team that isn't as good at puzzles, or, you know, like there's stuff like that where luck does come into play. And I think these are one of those situations, where like, depending on what team you land on, because I do think that purple team had more physical strength than orange. Oh, what a match.
Oh my gosh. They broke the record, both of them, for that challenge.
Yep.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that, you know, you're watching this as a viewer, you're watching it and it's only been like, you know, 60 seconds or like 2 minutes. And then, you know, Jeff says, we've now been out here for 40 minutes. And you're like, dear God, how is this possible?
That was wild.
Yeah.
How long?
If there's ever a shot for the milk ad, it's the shot of like David leaning back and, as if he's just jet skiing, like on the back of a boat.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That Shaheen doing the Survivor music was killing me. Like the cuts of him doing it. Oh my God. That had me in stitches. That was so funny. It was really, that was like a really funny challenge, like in between the kind of, you know, it's a little boring having people stand there. So like there was that, there was David and Kyle like smack talking each other back and forth. And like David, obviously he had the right because he was cocky, but like those guys and Eva lasted a while, like serious props. And then just teasing Cedric for dropping in the first 15 seconds.
That was crazy.
Can't catch a break, this guy.
I can't believe it. Well, because also, like, as the viewer, it seemed almost instantaneous. It's like he touched the rod and then just dropped it.
Oh my God.
That was crazy. So then, yeah, tying it back to like last week's new challenge, too, it's like, ooh, you are now the most visible, weakest link physically.
And it just goes to show how long you'd hang in there for a PB&J, am I right?
Yeah, seriously. And like, yeah, like
50 something minutes for a PB&J.
Yeah, and you could tell Mitch was really putting up a fight. Like he was, but he had no chance against Joe and David. Like he tried his best, but yeah, there's,
he lasted a while. He's up there for a good amount.
Yeah, so after the immunity challenge,
oh wait, and the commercial. The
yes.
Commercial.
Oh my God, yes.
Or Kyle's like, this should be a Survivor commercial, and Jeff's like, let's do it. And then Survivor.com popped up and he's like, do you think this is too difficult or that you could do it? Join today. I love it.
That just speaks to like how amazing the cast is. Like they're just like so many moments like that are just make it so entertaining.
It makes me wonder, like, are they always this fun and like funny, or like are they choosing to highlight more fun and funny moments now? I don't know. Or does this crew just have like a great sense of humor? Like it could be that too. I don't know. But yeah, that was great. That was a great challenge and good for David. He deserved that win. Like that was impressive. So then purple goes to orange goes first. And then purple goes second, and orange, who gets sent home, they are not part of the jury. And then purple, who gets sent home, they are the first person on the jury. So orange group went first. Mitch was in that group. Very nerve-wracking, right?
Yeah.
Oh going I in, was freaking I was like, out.
You didn't know whether or not they were. I feel like each group, there was a easy move and then a smart move, right? Like you can make the case that the smart move for the group would have been voting Mitch out because he's more of a threat.
Mitch
is the threat. And
the threat. That's right.
But Say was also a threat in her own way. And she was just the easiest that like everyone was able to agree on. I was happy that she went out. I feel like in this episode, especially, she really stepped into her villain shoes.
One really interesting thing about their tribal was, what was Chrissy thinking when she started saying like, oh, like you can't, you have to backstab, like all this stuff. Like she just that was a death sentence, I think, for her. So
I don't know what happened there, but she just started and she just was steamrolling, and I was like, you can stop talking now, Chrissy. Like stop. Shush. Because everyone's faces are like,
mm-hmm. Like it's one thing to think that, but like to say it out loud at tribal in a performative way, I'm like, dude, read the room. That is not
literally.
I mean, that's exactly what I was about to say. Was that I agree with what she's saying, because if I'm on the show, I wouldn't be a David or Joe or the like, you know, biggest physical threat. So like, if you're not the most physical threat, you have to be playing a different game, right? There, it comes with a little more deceit. But like you said, read the room. Why are you, speaking all of these thoughts?
Yeah, like keep them inside your brain, Chrissy, okay? Because you're putting a target on your back and people aren't going to trust you now.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about how you have to not be honest anymore. And she's like, but not right now. It's like, okay. But you were just saying that you have to lie. So are you lying right now? Like, what's happening here?
I know. And I think that's probably going to be a topic for next episode. Like, someone's going to be like, we need to get her out because she said this.
Yeah. When Chrissy and Star were talking about potentially voting Mitch, I was like, oh my God, like, are they actually going to do this? But like, if I was thinking about it with the mindset of the jury, and if they had sent Mitch home, he wouldn't have been on the jury. And like, Mitch is the kind of person that would be really intentional and mindful about who he's voting for, and say just holds so much resentment and is like unpredictable, and you don't know like how she would vote in the jury and who she would vote for. I read an article about saying that she would be a bitter jury person if they let her on the jury. So they definitely made the right choice there. And like, Say has been on the chopping block for weeks now, so it was about time.
Yeah. One thing that I will say about Say is that I forgot to mention at the very beginning of the episode where she had voted for Cedric last episode, but she did it intentionally in a handwriting that was about to mess with his mind, and it is exactly what happened. Like, super conniving.
Yeah, that was shady.
And it messed with his head seriously. Yeah.
That was funny, actually. That was,
I know, that was hilarious.
It's like, everybody's so obsessed with me.
I know, said that like 3 or 4 different times throughout this episode.
What do you guys think about Mitch using the block a vote?
I thought it ended up being a waste, right? Because all it did was block her vote. But even if she had voted for Mitch, Say still would have been voted out, right?
Think Say would have used her shot in the dark?
Oh.
I don't think she had used her shot in the dark yet. So if she used her shot in the dark, there would have been a slight chance.
Yeah, that's
true.
That
she could have been safe.
Oh.
If she had her vote. But since she did not have a vote, she couldn't use her shot in the dark.
So, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So I think it's good that he did it. Just well to cover played. The ground, just in case.
Well played.
Yep. So I think he made the right move.
And then second tribal, I feel like this one was a little bit more predictable. I kind of had a feeling Cedric would go. I think taking a shot at Shaheen, I think it was a little too soon.
Oh, yeah. It was way too risky.
Yeah. But I think they're planting the seeds for that. And but yeah, if they're going to take a shot at Shaheen, they better nail it, or else it's going to come back and bite them in the butt, I think.
Yeah. So I am a little confused as to what happened between Kyle and Camilla and David, because they made up that story, right? They were manufacturing this fake story about Shaheen, and then they told David that. Was that in hopes that he would just planting a seed for a later time, or were they hoping to get him to vote for Shaheen now?
I think they were trying to see if they could get Shaheen out, and I don't think it was landing with David.
Yeah.
I think like they were very intentional on how they edited everything. Because they did show David talking about like potentially getting Shaheen out and everything, but I think that they realized like it just wasn't the time. But yeah, the lie was, I don't know if that's going to come into play later. I'm sure it will.
The way that they edited the scenes for next week makes it seem like it will, but who knows?
But Cedric is the first member of the jury.
I think he's going to be a good jury member.
Agree.
I have a question for you all now that we're getting closer to the end. I mean, not really, but kind of. So far, like right now, like who would you predict is going to win the whole thing? Let's go around.
This game is so unpredictable and it can change on a dime. And there are people playing a lot of different ways. Like there is the kind of under the radar, like Camilla and Kyle, they're playing very under the radar right now. And then there are like the obvious physical threats who will do really well in challenges. David, Joe, Eva, also Kyle. So with that combined, Kyle, I think, is a really big threat right now and could potentially take the win if he keeps going in the direction he's going. I think if Mitch is able to secure more alliances, he'll go really far.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Because he is also a very good, he's really good at challenges. And yeah, if he makes those connections and finds some people that he can trust, like I really do think he'll make it in the final three. It just comes down to like who, you know, what his alliance is going to look like.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I think David's going to win. Yeah.
He right. does have a really good alliance. I do worry about like, he is probably the most physical threat. And so people may try and get him out when they have the opportunity. If he keeps, I could see him winning a lot of immunities. And then when there are physical threats that win a lot of immunities, the first chance they get of like someone not winning an immunity, people will try and get him out.
Yeah. I just think for this season, there's so many strategic players too that like, yeah, it's always the like under the radar, not winning people that end up sneaking to the end and winning because of their story and their social game. So I don't know. Like, I think David has a pretty good social game too, which is rare.
He does. He has some really close alliances.
Yeah. So, and I think like if you have Joe in your alliance, like Joe seems like such a loyal person.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's my take. I agree. I think Mitch is going to go far. And, like I want Mitch to win, obviously. Like I want him to win over everyone else. But
of course. Like, we're following his journey. We're rooting for him 100%.
But I need to pick someone besides Mitch, too. So – I say Mitch and then David. So what do you all think? So you picked Kyle, Caitlin?
Yeah, Kyle, Mitch, and maybe one of the more physical threats will be in the final three.
I'll say Mitch too, just because I want to speak it into existence. But if I had to choose someone else, I think Joe as well. I mean, he's had a super compelling story with talking about his family, and then everyone saw how incredible he was with the moment with Eva. So I think he's garnered a lot of respect from other players. So because of that, I think if it comes down to voting, I could see people easily voting for someone like that too. So I'll say Mitch and Joe.
The moment when in the immunity challenge, when Joe was like telling Eva not to give up yet.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, like, you know what?
Who does that?
How can you not like that?
I know.
How can you not like that?
I know. I'm like a little worried for them too, because I mean, so I predict that someone is going to try to get Eva out and blindside Joe. Like, I have a feeling that's like, Eva's going to go out before Joe does. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think so too, because she doesn't have a lot of strong or as many strong alliances as Joe does. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed that Eva and Mitch haven't really bonded.
I know. I don't know why they haven't. I mean, they haven't been on the same tribe together, so maybe they will connect soon. Like, fingers crossed. I think they would both have each other's backs too. They're both pretty loyal players, which can be a little scary in a game like this. Like, all this talk about loyalty and I find it very interesting. And then Chrissy went off on her whole tangent, but there is a lot of talk about loyalty this season. It's interesting.
Chrissy's days are numbered. That's my other prediction. Chrissy's days are numbered.
Yep, I agree. I think Mitch is probably gonna like put the target on her to get it off of him.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe. That's a good prediction.
This was another great recap episode. Thank you both so much for being here.
All right. See you, everyone. Thanks, Maya.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.